Be joining us, a man who would like to represent us in the halls of Congress, Jack Ballard. How are you, Jack?
Hi, Jack.
I'm good.
The districting is over, and you have wound up, I guess, in the second congressional district, which is Eastern Montana. How do you feel about the way that came out?
You know, I think actually I was really pleased with the districting. I think the commission did a good job of creating fair districts and also actually kind of sticking with the precedent that we had prior to 1990.
Yeah, Eastern Montana, Western Montana. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Really, I guess we kept all the counties whole with the exception of Pend'Oreille County.
That's right.
So you have been very clear from the very beginning that you didn't care which district it was as long as you could run against Matt Rosendale. Is that still the way you feel?
Yeah, I live in Red Lodge, which is in the east, and my roots are very strongly in rural Montana, grew up on a ranch east of Whitehall. And so this district just fits me, and I think it's really important that people actually live among the people they represent in Congress.
So now, do you feel that there are some things that you strongly disagree with when it comes to Congressman Matt Rosendale?
Yeah, he went on record a few days ago, you know, bragging about the fact that he had voted no, it was something like, you know, around 275 times in Congress, something like that. I really believe that your role as a representative, whether you're in the majority or the minority, is to work with people from the opposite party to pass legislation, you know, to do what you can do within the confines of your principles to move the country ahead. And there's just no record of Matt Rosendale taking that approach. Unlike the 13 Republicans who voted across the aisle and gave us a really good infrastructure bill that's going to do a lot for Montana.
The question I have for, and I'm going to ask this of all of the congressional candidates more than once, but I think this is an important question because we're a small state and we're only going to get two members of Congress in the House of Representatives. We're going to be lucky if we keep our two. We're going to be probably one, maybe two. That's all we're ever going to get. And the only way we're going to get any influence is to get some longevity. And the members of Congress who have gotten longevity and have made a difference for Montana are people like Pat Williams and Denny Rehberg. And both of them achieved quite a bit of influence for Montana by being there, getting some seniority, and as a result, getting some committee chairmanships that were able to really do some things for Montana and get us represented well. Since Denny Rehberg left Congress, it has been musical chairs. We haven't had anybody more than two years and a few months. They all use it as a stepping stone to get somewhere else. So my question to you, Jack Ballard, is if you're elected to represent Montana, are you going to stay there?
Well, you know, that's a fairly difficult question to answer just in terms of re-election. But yeah, I'm committed to represent people of Montana. And you need seniority to put yourself in that kind of position of leadership where you can influence things positively for the state of Montana at the national level. But you also need to be someone who is perceived in Congress as competent and worthy of leadership. And so one of my goals going in would be to work as hard as I can, do the best job that I can, so that as my seniority grew, I would also, you know, have the kind of competence where people would want to put me in leadership positions in the House.
We're still waiting to see how all the filings go here as it stands right now. In District 2, we have a Democrat, Skylar Williams, and we have a Republican, James Boyette, who have filed. Thus far, Congressman Rosendale has not yet filed, neither have you. When do you intend to file?
I'm planning to do that in person in Helena on February 17th.
Okay. You got some time, so it's not a critical question, but nonetheless, it's do you intend to do so with a little bit of pomp and circumstance, or are you just going to sneak into town?
Well, the idea is, you know, I think it's good to file in person, and it's a pretty good drive from Red Lodge to Helena. I have another event scheduled over there on that day, and so, yeah, we'll certainly invite the press and try to be able to talk to some people and, yeah, make something of an event out of it.
Do you have some legislation that you're particularly interested in trying to move forward in Congress if you get there?
One of the things that I think is acutely affecting Montanans and workers all across the country is wages. The federal minimum wage sits at $7.25 an hour. We're a little higher than that in Montana. We're a bit over $9 an hour, but there's like 20 states in the country who still the minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. And I think it's really important to bring that up, to establish a base wage across this country that's something closer, you know, to a living wage for working people. And so that would be one of my priorities.
Well, there are those who would argue that we've already exceeded that by the economic supply and demand. We're already at $15 to $20 an hour now. Why would we worry about the minimum wage?
Because again, I said you need to establish, I think it's really important to establish a base, you know, where the country says, look, this is the base level of what people need to have anything close to a living wage. And as a representative, I would represent all of eastern Montana. And there's certainly places here, Billings, Bozeman, where, yeah, wages have gone up, but there's also places where wages are stagnant. And you also have to look out for people in other parts of the country. And the federal minimum wage hasn't been raised since 2009. Adjusted for today's dollars, it peaked in 1968 at about $12.11 an hour, something like that. We can sure do better by people in this country. There's a lot of prosperity in this country. And I feel really strongly that more of that needs to be going to the people that do the work, that really create the economic engine here and doesn't just benefit upper management and stockholders.
Watching the stock market here this morning, and it is in a serious decline, has been for the last couple of weeks. Yeah, but this morning, it is just absolutely in free fall. And the question is, where do we go from here? The Dow is now down almost 700 points. NASDAQ down 425. S&P 500 down 111 points. The Fed is going to have to step in here at some point and do something. We're not going to stay in this inflationary period for very long. What do you think is going to happen next, and what do you think should happen next?
I think in relation to the stock market, you know, you have to remember that the stock market is coming off of exceedingly strong growth in the last year. And what I've been reading, analysts have been expecting some kind of a major correction for some time. And so I think that's part of it. Stock market's certainly important to the economy, but there is the psychology. There's two emotions that drive Wall Street, greed and fear. And right now, I think we're a little bit on the fearful side of that. And so I think that's what's leading to the downturn there.
Well, there's certainly a dichotomy here. There's Wall Street and there's Main Street. And the two not necessarily are connected.
One of the tough things in relation to the stock market and monetary policy and those kind of issues is it always seems like what benefits one sector of the country oftentimes hurts another sector of the country. And I think one of the dilemmas people have right now, especially people that are at retirement age, is, you know, you wind the clock back 20 years ago and you could put your money into a pretty safe investment, CD, money market, something like that, and get a reasonable rate of return for your retirement income. And today that's just not the case. And so while our what I would say, artificially low interest rates of the past several years have benefited Wall Street. They haven't necessarily benefited retirees or people that are looking for some place to put their money that's safe. And so I think we have a lot of people that are kind of caught in the stock market, but they also have to contend with that volatility. And I would really like to see that situation change.
I want to move over here, Jack, because we only have a few more minutes with you, but I want to talk about public lands, because you're down there in Red Lodge, and I know that you are an outdoor writer. Talk with us about your position on public lands should you get to Congress.
I'm a real strong advocate for wildlife and public lands. Outdoor recreation is a really important part of our economy in Montana, particularly in relation to the hunting and fishing world that I'm a big part of. We have about 30% of this state, the land area, is public lands. And so management on public lands that creates good wildlife habitat and that creates good outdoor recreation opportunities for people is a priority of mine. One of the areas that I'm particularly focused on is we have about 1.3 million acres of public land in this state that the public doesn't have any access to, you know, that they are landlocked by private lands. And we have a growing population. You know, you can say Montana is full, you know, but that's not going to stop the inflow of people here. And so increasing access through voluntary easements, through incentive programs to that 1.1 million acres of landlocked public land would be a strong priority of mine. If people are going to enjoy the same kind of outdoor recreational experience in the state that they have 10 years from now, we have to do that because our population is growing.
One more thing, and that's health care. The cost of health care is not going down. How can we wrap our arms around this and make it go down?
Well, it's real tough. I mean, even as something that appears to be as simple as prescription drug prices, you know, we've made some progress, but not a whole lot. And I'm a strong advocate for doing some real cost containment in relation to healthcare, and that, you know, could involve a lot of different things. It might be moving, you know, people voluntarily toward a single payer system. You know, we already have about a third of the population between VA, Medicaid, Medicare, military that, you know, receives their health care through the federal government, allowing people to, you know, opt into Medicare at a younger age, I think would be a good option. And then putting caps on certain aspects of things in health care is something we have to look at, because the spiraling costs and fewer people being able to afford insurance, it's just not sustainable.
Jack, look forward to a lot of conversations with you on the campaign trail. We've got a ways to go here, and the primary is June 7th, and of course, all the way to November for the general election. Jack Ballard, a candidate for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District, which is Eastern Montana. Thanks for a great conversation this morning, Jack.
Yes, thank you.
Talk to you soon.